Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kumanjian, and I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of the show, Jeff Rappaport.
This is episode 208, and it's the last part of our four-part series, part four of creating true passive income through notes. While listening to this podcast, if you guys have any questions, please head over to our Facebook group, the Creative Financing Podcast. If you're not part of the community already, just head over to Facebook and search the Creative Financing Podcast and ask to join. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, you can always ask your questions in the comments below. Otherwise, if you guys are getting any value from this episode, please like, share, and subscribe to the show. It lets us know that you're enjoying the content and learning, and it really motivates us to continue creating episodes for you guys. We also want your feedback. So wherever you're listening, please rate and review us.
And Jeff, if we want to continue with part four.
Yes. So we went through an example. Cody actually, I put Cody on the spot. Cody came up with a good offer on a condo, which most people are not interested in. And what we're going to do on this episode is I will show you my offer, and then we will analyze both of them based on what we think we can sell them for and what that would mean to us. So real quickly, what you see on the whiteboard is the property information on the far left. That was our example, two bed, one and a half bath, worth about 190, 30,000 owed, payment of 410. And then, in fair condition, rents would be 11 to 1150 and they were asking 170,000. And then what we did is we broke out all the expenses. We looked at the income. That kind of leaves us with, it's not really a true NOI, but what we use in terms of income type properties. And that leaves us with $9,133, which doesn't really work rental wise here, but kind of helps us determine where to go with this. And what we decided is that, hey, if our exit strategy is to sell to an owner-occupant, so sell to someone that's going to live in the property, we can eliminate all of those expenses. And now we have some money to work with and create some passive income, which is the name of the game and exactly what we're trying to accomplish on these this series of podcast episodes. So, all right. So, Cody, here's your offer: $173,000, $15,000 down, $687 a month payment, 3.25% interest over 30 years, 7-year balloon, and a balloon of about $133,000. Correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, this is what I like to do, and I would have made some similar offer to Cody. That would have been something similar in one of my offers. But in this particular case, we're going to talk about subordination again. And the reason I like subordination in these kinds of deals is that if this property were free and clear, it gives me the opportunity to offer more money down. So if the down payment becomes more of an issue, subordination allows me to still make that potentially work. When there's small amounts owed, that we're able to get rid of that loan. So no potential due on sale clause. And in Cody's example, when we tried to figure out what the seller would get, the seller is grossing that amount, right? Because even though they're bringing in $687 a month, they're paying out $3 something a month. And so they're not netting that. On the one that I'm going to create, there'll be no underlying loan that the seller is responsible for. So we'll be able to figure out more of a net. Okay. So I came in at a purchase price of $175.
Oh, you had to beat me out just by a couple thousand.
Yeah. Well, I got to take care of a loan of $30,000. So, down payment of $35,000. So, what that will do is $30,000 will go to paying off the loan and $5,000 in seller's pocket. Okay. Now we're going to borrow this money against the property. That's why we got to clear that loan, right? If that loan exists, we can't borrow in first position. So, and how are we going to borrow this money? This is what you call private, borrowing from private investors. This isn't hard money. This is private. So anyone that is interested in getting a better return on their money than what they're currently getting in the stock market, in the bank, the CDs, the mutual funds, whatever it may be, in their Roth IRA, their self-directed IRAs, anyone really that has money that wants to make good rate of return safely. Now, Cody, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask Nicole this question. Nicole, if I came to you and I said, hey, Nicole, I need to borrow $35,000. And even though I can't really, I'm not allowed to say that it is guaranteed that you will, that there's literally no risk to you, and I'll pay you 6 or 7% interest. Would you be interested?
Yes, definitely.
So how can I really make that offer? I really shouldn't. It's kind of, you don't guarantee anything, but this is about as close to a guarantee as you will ever get financially. This property is worth $190,000. You were borrowing $35,000 and you are secured in first position. That means any other debt gets paid after you do. That means that if I was to stop paying for whatever reason, that the seller now, who's going to be owed, you know, a bigger note, would have to walk away from their note, and you would have to light this place on fire and have no insurance for Nicole to lose, because there's no way I would walk away, and there's almost zero chance that the seller's walking away. But worst case scenario is Nicole ends up with this property for about $35,000 and it's worth $190,000. I cannot think of a way that Nicole could lose her money. So it's fairly easy to, and that's what allows me to maybe get it at a little lesser rate. To me, private money is normally within 6, 7, 8% range. This might be 5% money because it's so secure. And 5% based on right now, I mean, if you reach someone that's, hey, I've got $50,000 in my savings account that's getting half of 1% interest right now, 5% might be plenty. So we're going to borrow that, okay? We're going to say, all right, Mr. Seller, we're going to pay off your loan. We're going to give you a little bit of money, and then we're going to give you a note for the balance of your equity. So that note's going to be secured in second position for $140,000. What we're going to do is we're going to make payments to you of $525 a month. Principal only.
You said 525?
Yep. So this is an actual net amount that the seller gets every single month, right? So seller no longer has any obligation that has to be met with this property. And we'll start netting $525 a month, okay, for 60 months.
Okay.
Okay, the 60 months, so when we figure out our balloon, 60 times 500 is 30,000. Oh, I'm sorry, it was 525. Yeah, so it comes out to be 108,500 is the balloon. Okay, so at the end of 5 years, just so everyone understands this, you will owe 108,500 to the seller and $35,000 to the private lender. So you'll owe 143,500. Okay, because the 35,000 were, and you can pay, private lending is whatever you work out, right? It's pretty simple. If you want to pay them more, you pay them more. You want to pay them less, then offer them less. You want to pay them principal only, that's what I do, is I just pay them principal only payments. That helps keep my payment low and my cash flow high. And then at the end, pay you off your principal amount. So if we look at what 35,000 at, let's say, 0.07 divided by 12, so it's like 205. Okay, so we're making a payment of about 725.
That's interest only.
Yeah, that 205 would be interest only. Yep. Okay. So the reason that I like to do a lot more principal only payments on subordination is that the first mortgage doesn't pay down, right? So what I'm trying to do is get this loan to pay down so that, hey, at the end of whatever the term is that we agreed to, that one, we're certainly below where we can refinance and refinance easily, or we can sell and, no matter what's really happened with the market, that we're still have equity. Okay.
So, Jeff, I have a question.
Yeah, actually. Go ahead.
So the interest only is kind of confusing me a little bit. So, so you're borrowing that $35,000, and only paying interest on it.
Yep.
From a private money lender.
Yep.
So how do you ever pay that off, really?
At the end of the balloon. So in 5 years.
So after 60 months, okay, then you pay that.
Yeah. So that's the longest it can go.
Okay.
If my buyer decides to sell the property and get it cashed out or refinance sooner, then they get paid back. So what I'd probably do is say, look, I want to borrow $35,000 and, I'll pay you 7% interest of $205 a month. And I'll guarantee you a minimum of 3 months and a maximum of 60 months, at which time at whenever the time is up or the property gets sold or refinanced, you're paid back your principal balance.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess I'm just more questioning why I would ever want to pay interest only, but.
So why just would make I? Sure you get as much cash flow as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
So, one, it's easy to calculate and it's easy for both parties. So when I say both parties, that's me and the private investor. So the private investor knows, hey, whether it's every month or every quarter, I'm getting a check for this amount of money. And when they have to think how much money is still owed to me, they know it's $35,000. Right? Mm-hmm. It's the amount that they put up. So.
Hey, podcast listeners, it's Nicole here. I just wanted to stop for a brief second to ask you if you're getting any value from this episode, please head over to wherever you listen and rate and review us.
It makes it to where we can continue to make these episodes for you guys. If this is your first time listening, please subscribe to this podcast. If you're more of a visual learner, we also have a YouTube channel. You just have to go to the Creative Financing Podcast channel on YouTube, and all of the new episodes have a video to follow along. Make sure you're subscribing, liking, and commenting on those videos. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to the show.
That's why. Otherwise, let's say that you looked at $35,000 at, let's say, 7%, and let's say it's only amortized over 60 months. So your payment is $1,188. That doesn't work for me. That would make it paid off in 5 years and at like a 7% interest rate. That certainly doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So this is about investing your money and making a certain rate of return.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So what did I look at? All right. So but we were pretty close, Cody, on what we felt like we would be able to do with our end buyer. So I thought we'd be selling for $200, down payment $20. I would get an interest rate of 6.5%. So I'm thinking I can get a little more. An $1,137 a month principal and interest payment. And a balloon payment of $171,107.
Gotcha.
Okay. So let's look at Cody. What let's look at your deal and let's see how this works out. So you are collecting $6,000 up front. So you get $6,000 minus, you know, any kind of closing costs that you had to pay for. And then you get $6,000 that you get to put in your pocket up front. Okay, every month you are collecting $1,103 and you are paying out $687. You are making $416 a month. And that's because buyer's paying all the other expenses, right? So you're only worried about your principal and interest payment that you're collecting and only worried about the principal and interest payment that you are making. So 416, if this went to the term, times 84, would make you almost $35,000, $34,944. And at the end, you have $164,936 minus around $133,000. You'll make about $32,000 at the end. So that's $73,000 total on a property you paid $173 for that's worth $190.
Yeah, that's eye-opening.
Yeah, and strictly passive, right? You don't have anything to do with this property. Once you find the buyer and have your closing, you are done. All the rest of that money is 100% passive. All right, so let's look at mine. They're going to be similar, except mine's over a shorter period of time. So we're going to get $20,000 down. I get all of that because I didn't have any money to put down. And so we're paying the seller and the private money lender. I think I thought 35,000 times 0.06. Yeah, so I put it at 6%. And I truly believe I can get that on that kind of investment. Super.
And how much was that payment at
6%? $175. So I'm paying a total of $700 a month, and I'm collecting $1,137, so $437. So we're pretty similar, if I remember correctly. 437 times 60. So I make 26.
220?
26,220 over 5 years. Yep.
And your ending is about the same as well.
Yeah. So my balloon is, so I owe the 108.5 plus the 35, so the 143.5. So I make 171,107 minus 143.5. 27,600.
Nice, round it up to 28. Yeah.
And so it's, what is it, 46, 74,000, right?
That's
so pretty close for both.
That's in 60 months versus 84.
Well, and like I said, I would still make an offer just like yours. And because I don't really care. Yeah, but if I got to give up a few thousand dollars or add on a few more years, that's fine. Really what I want is I want to get this deal, right?
Yeah.
Because if I could do five of these deals a month, so I had 60 notes in, how long do you think? 3 to 5 years? Really, I'd probably be done. I'd probably be retired. The only negative is that they get cashed out. So, and getting $28,000 at the end or $32,000 at the end is good. It is good, but sometimes you just want the cash flow to keep going. So when you can find sellers that are willing to give you longer terms, now you don't really care, right? I was just telling both of you during, you know, one of our breaks that, you know, I have a note that's 2 years overdue and I didn't really care. I make almost $700 a month from it, but properties have increased in value so much that, you know, we needed to have a conversation that because you're overdue, that, you know, the existing note is not what's going to get paid off any longer.
Yeah.
I don't care if you need more time, that's fine, but we got to modify our note a bit. So
instead of dealing with like, you know, repairs and stuff like that, you're going back and talking to people about money, basically.
One
of the two.
It really depends on your what you want, right? So if I really wanted these people to cash out, I would have done something 2 years ago. And, you know, I called them, I put them in touch with a lender, and, you know, but I'm not going to babysit them. I'm not going to force them to do anything. It's their choice. And I could have come right back to them and said, hey, your note's overdue, you're in default. And what are we going to work out? And I'd probably, at that point, if I wanted them out of the property, I would have offered them some money to just move on, cash for keys, basically. And if that didn't work, then I could go through the, in this case, we did a contract for deed. I could go through the forfeiture process, or if, depending on what your state allows, or the foreclosure process. I chose not to do either because I was in no rush. And if the property stayed the same, I probably wouldn't have even said a word to them. You know, if the property increased slightly in value over the last few years, I probably wouldn't have said anything. Probably would have left it all alone. Yeah. Like, I'm in zero rush for you to cash me out. But since the property has probably increased $300,000-$400,000 since we sign this thing, I thought, yeah, we probably should have a conversation.
I have another question that I thought of. Like with properties, you could transfer those, right? Like, let's say I died or whatever, I could, you know, have that left for kids or whoever. How does that work with like notes, I guess? Like,
same thing. Someone's going to make the payment.
Right.
Yeah, you can assign that note to someone else. And if, you know, if I wanted to leave notes that I have to my kid or my significant other, now I can just have that done in my estate plan. And it's quite easy. That's one of the selling points to older sellers that say, well, I'm not going to live long enough to wait and get all that money. And it's like, do you need that money? Is there something that you wanted to spend it on? What are you going to do with it? And a lot of times they say, I'm going to leave it to my family. And it's like, well, if you're leaving it to your kids, it doesn't matter who you're leaving it to, but especially, you know, teenage kids, younger adults, do you really want to leave them a lump sum where they could go blow it and be gone and it's all gone in a few months? Or would you rather kind of have a forced savings plan where they get enough money each month and, you know, it's now a supplement rather than a lump sum?
Okay. So it works the same.
Yeah. That it does. All right. So one, what did you think? I mean, that condo was not much of a deal, was it?
No, I agree.
Do you think there's much competition for that deal? None, right? Zero.
Just the listeners of this episode.
Yeah, well, right. So no one's calling. No one's calling this guy and saying, hey, I got three offers that, you know, I'm contemplating. I'd be like, wait, what? those are my kinds of leads that they kind of fly under the radar. No one's really looking at them. And unless you're in a super hot market where condos are flying off the market too, that sometimes they're willing to take a little bit of a discount. In this case, you know, he just wasn't as totally educated on the market. But these deals exist, right? Even in hot markets, and you know, nothing super special about this, but ended up getting you over a $400 a month cash flow and a $70,000 profit over a few years. So. These deals are great. And if you fill up your pipeline with these kinds of deals, truly passive income.
It's always just nice to keep adding stuff to the toolkit because there's so many properties you come across that have unique situations with the owners.
Right.
And having this in there just allows you to close on more deals.
That's right. Yep. All right, so let's wrap this up. This will wrap the series up. Hopefully you liked it and got something out of it. And any last words from either of the two of you? Questions?
Nope.
Awesome. Nothing from me.
If you're looking to learn more about this, check into our resources. You can find them in the show notes or in our links. Contact me directly. I'm happy to chat with you about it. Go out and create some terms. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.